Good morning. I asked him to like raise that level up just so that we can have some boom, boom, boom going on. It is awesome to be in God's house as one church this morning in one location versus two. But we're just so excited to be able to share God's word with you all this morning. I have a couple cool little things to interject in between. I'm going to keep everyone on their toes. Of course, my kids are like, Dad, really? You're going to call on me? And that was just so that they were good this week. So they're off the hook. But it is awesome just to be here today. Today we're talking about protecting the house. And whose house are we talking about? We're talking about protecting this house right here, this church at this time that God's called us to be at. And it's a huge opportunity for each of us, ways to find how we can connect, how we can grow together, and how we can see God's will ultimately be done through each of us. And so just to start us off, I wanted to kind of get this slide up. And when I put this together, Aaron, if you can put up this really cool core value slide. When I saw this in the M Team room, you know, probably several months back or maybe a year or so ago, everyone who serves with us goes into the M Team room. We pray there. We get some time of fellowship there before we go off and serve in our ministries. But we have this on the wall. So if you've never seen it before, it's actually back there at both campuses. We have that. And I love the way it's set up. But we never used it these last 5 weeks to talk about our core values. But when I put this together, I started thinking like, wow, I think people are going to think Dave's going to like come in and do the weather because the next 5 days are going to be. And then I was like, I'm not going to talk about weather because this past week was not good, okay, for many people. We're glad that the water's in the past and we have new things ahead of us this coming week. Hopefully the weather will be good. I never looked at the weather for the week. But the other thing that came to mind too was, and I could hear Brother Steve just saying like, Dave, don't do the Steve Harvey, please. Don't go Family Feud. And I'm not, so don't worry. So we're not going to go door number one. But I think it's a great way for us to be able to recap our core values and then to talk about what we're here for today. And so number one on the list is all about Jesus. You guys got to say it together, okay? Number one's all about Jesus. Number two, we are here for others. Here for others. Here to serve as one. That's right. Someone just said that. But that's coming up. Next one, to be sacrificially generous. Last week, we talked about being here to serve. And for this week, we're going to be talking about united in purpose. So that's our word for today. Coming into this week, I actually saw an article that hit me, and I was kind of shocked. The headline was all about Harvard University. And so if anyone saw that, you're probably also just kind of troubled in your spirit as well. Because the history of Harvard University, if most people don't know, is that it actually started as a means of being able to teach people how to go into this world and to preach Christ. And Harvard University is obviously no longer Harvard University. It's taken many different changes since. And that's the challenge for today's day and age. We see a period of time that we slip and we move away from what we originally were called to do. But what shocked me was this. It was at Harvard University, and this is out of New York Times. Harvard University has chosen a devout atheist and humanist chaplain to lead the Ivy League school that was founded by Puritans to educate the clergy with the motto, and this was their motto, truth for Christ and the church. But if you just scanned it really quick and you just didn't think about what that just said, it's not that they chose another chaplain, which is an oxymoron in what they chose. They chose an atheist. Just let that sink in for a quick moment. A chaplain who's an atheist. A chaplain used to be someone who was a clergy. That's what it was restricted to. A chaplain in the army has a hope for those who are wounded on the battlefield. They can share scripture with them. Or if they're also Jewish as well, they can also encourage them in their Jewish faith. But now we're at a point in time where a chaplain doesn't even bring forth God. And that bothered me. I was like, really? What is going on? And it reminded me of some recent studies, though, that came out as well from Barna. Over COVID, we saw a very interesting shift in church attendance. And I'm like, that's interesting. So even the church right now is being challenged with attendance and people who are visiting them. It just said that a third of practicing Christians weren't regularly watching or attending a church service during COVID. And coming out of COVID, church attendance has dropped 20 to 30%. So I'm like, okay. So we've got atheist chaplains, we've got low church attendance. And then this other thing just was the other thing that just coupled and kind of put it all together for me, and my light bulb inside went off. And it's this new way of people doing church. And I don't know if you've seen them before. There isn't one local that I'm aware of. They're called Sunday Assemblies. Now, we know our name is the Assemblies of God, is our church affiliation. But this is a Sunday assembly. Well, what are they assembling for? Well, there's actually three of these that I found, and very quickly, they were the first things that popped up. One's in Pittsburgh, and it's called the Pittsburgh Assembly. And this is what this looks like, a Sunday assembly. There's one out in Oregon. They look a little bit more like us, you know, and oh, you could probably take that photo in here, people standing just, you know, ready to sing. And then there's one down in Atlanta as well, and that's Atlanta. I'm like, wow, they're trying to look like church today, don't they? On their website, though, this is what the Atlanta Assembly says. Our Sunday Assembly is a secular congregation that celebrates life. Our motto is to live better, help often, wonder more. Okay? Our mission, though, is to help everyone reach their full potential. I'm like, wow, that sounds like Anthony Robbins, a motivational speaking church. Great. But the one thing that's missing in all of that is what? Jesus. We just sang about it, Jesus at the center of it all. And that really is what unifies church, is Jesus. Just to note, all these churches, they do have music, they have a message, and they have fellowship. I was grinning when I read that some of the songs that these other churches play, like Living on a Prayer. Like Bon Jovi in church? Like, really? Like, we're halfway there, but we're missing Jesus. No, we're living on a prayer. That's right, they are. And what's happened over the last 8 to 10 years since he started popping up in Britain, they came over to New York. Everyone said, hey, this is interesting. New York Times wrote about them years back. They wrote about them, and then recently again, they actually just found out that it isn't really working as they thought. Why? Because the way that they were unified. They're not. They're just attenders. And that's not what we want to be as a church. We don't want just a place that people can just come, and that's it, and then leave, and that's it for the rest of the week. But we all want to be like that early church. And the way that that happens today is through the unity of the Holy Spirit. So a few weeks back, we were in the book of Ephesians. Everybody still remember that? It feels like a year ago or two. Yeah, anyone? Come on. All right, that's right. We were in the book of Ephesians. We ended about standing firm, standing strong, dressed in the full armor of God, because this is a spiritual battle out there. And Ephesians 4 talked about unity, and this is what it read. This is how we walk in unity. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling for which you're called, with lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. Unity. And I love that. It's one Lord, one hope that we all have, one baptism, one faith, God, Father, and Jesus. And that really just kind of symbolizes what we're all called to do together. So we're all called in Jesus' name to be here together, found in this unity. And so as we continue to explore that this morning, if you have your Bible with you, just take it out. Find your app. I want you to use it. Get ready in Acts chapter 2, if you can just go ahead and flip ahead, Acts chapter 2, and go ahead and stand this morning as we do our confession of faith. Acts chapter 2, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts, first book, pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the start of the church that we're here today. So let's go ahead and do our confession. This is my Bible. This is the Word of God. I am who says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do when I read and hear the Word of God. Thanks comes to my spirit. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to hear the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God, and it will change my life. I'll never be the same again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys sound great. Go ahead and be seated. And look to the person to your left and just say the word fellowship to them. Fellowship. To the right. Fellowship. Fellowship. As we're in Acts chapter 2, if you guys can just keep that open before you, let's go ahead and just read that together. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Verse 42. And it says this, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods, divided them among all, as everyone had need. And so afterwards, continuing daily in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Amen. Amen. I want to look at a particular word that's used in Acts chapter 2 because it's very specific. When you open up God's Word, we know that the New Testament is in Greek, the Old Testament is in Hebrew, and the words actually have meaning, and you can't read into things too much. A lot of things that we see in the world today is different interpretations and the way people process things and interpret things. When God's Word uses the word for fellowship here, though, it's actually a different term than the word assembly. We all see the word assembly back in the Gospels, where Jesus is talking about how he's going to build his church, and the nothing will come against it. Nothing at all will come against it. And what's interesting about that word assembly is that that's where we get the word ecclesia, church, from, and that's what we use today. But there's something a little bit more specific about what's being used here in this early church. They continued in the doctrine and the teaching, and they had fellowship. And the way that that fellowship looked is a lot different than it is right now today. They feared for their lives. They didn't know who was after them. They didn't know if they spoke the word Jesus if they would be hung. So great fear was surrounding that early church, but it thrived. You go to Acts chapter 4 and you see that upon one day, 3,000 were added to the church. And we all wish that we could see that again. Just come on, Lord, please bring back those days of adding to the church in great multitudes. Well, it actually does still happen. It happens in every single church that are teaching God's word. People are coming to Jesus. And so the church has now gone out. But these same tenets, these same principles still apply. The same apostles' doctrine, the New Testament, the fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayer. And we're going to do that at the end here today. We're actually going to break bread together in the sense of having communion. And what's interesting about having communion together is that that's what the Lord's Supper was all about. It was about having that fellowship together. They were like-minded, and they were doing it for one purpose, and that was to celebrate Jesus and the future supper that awaits. But this morning, we look at this word koinonia. You guys say that? Koinonia. Koinonia. Koinonia in the Greek, it actually means fellowship. It's more than just a community. It's not just like the Atlanta community, the Oregon community. It's not just like the one out in Pittsburgh, the one that could be around the corner that I don't even know about. It's more than that. It's koinonia. And the word koinonia really means, it means participation, a sharing in, a communion amongst each other. But there's also one extra piece of it that's really makes it unique. And it makes it, it really comes down to being a spiritual fellowship. And what really I've taken away is what one author says is that it's divinely intimate, it's holy unity among believers. And that's something we can't do on our own. We can't just assemble, play a couple songs, and just expect that God's going to show up in that place unless we have his Spirit. And that's what Jesus does. After the early church is birthed, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit takes place, and we then go into all the world. And today we're here in Quakertown as a result of the early church, having that fellowshipping and sharing that with each other. And that koinonia, that's in the Greek, that Greek word koinonia, don't worry, I'm using the Greek. I'm not talking about the next COVID that's coming. everyone's like, is that coming? Like, no, koinonia is here. It's now. It's the word that's used for that spiritual unity that we have and that we strive for through the Holy Spirit. Unity also comes through humility. Humility. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. It says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affliction and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. And that's in Philippians. Same love, one accord, one mind. Are you starting to get a sense of this oneness that we now have? Jesus said it best. He says, I and my Father, we are one. And when Jesus leaves us, he says he doesn't leave us nor ever forsake us. He gives us his Holy Spirit. And that's what keeps us bound together today. But at the same time that there's unity, we all know that Satan's out there and he's looking to steal, kill, destroy. I'm going to throw another word in there. Divide. Divide. And that division can happen in many different ways. And I'm gonna just submit this to you today. I think if you look at most divisions that happen, whether that's in a marriage, whether that's in a business partnership, just whether that's even in church, typically, it's never, I can say this, because of the Holy Spirit. It's typically because of us, right? Our flesh. We get in our own way. We become prideful. We become boastful. We think our way is the only way, the right way. There is no other way. And division occurs. And that can happen within churches. I'm going to read just out of 1 Corinthians this warning. It's a plea that Paul has. And I think it's appropriate for us to keep this in mind. As much as we seek unity, we have to be careful of division. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. That you all speak the same thing and that there would be no division among you. No division among you. But that you may be perfectly joined in the same mind and in the same judgment. And what's interesting about this word, it always kind of just goes right to my soul when I see it in the Greek. The word division here is schismata, which means to tear, to rend. Just take a piece of paper and just tear it. And that's what you have in division, right? You got two different groups, maybe more. You know, that does happen, even in churches. Now all of a sudden you pop up and there's like six different types of churches, churches that were all one, and then you have to peel them back and say, how did this all happen? And typically it's like one over here and one over here, and they become splintered. And guess what? At the same time, oftentimes, the gospel is impacted. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the people on the outside, they see that we're all here getting together at church. And they're like, wow, look at all these people. Every Sunday, they're going to church here out in Pennsburg. They're going to Bible-believing churches all throughout this entire world. And they're saying, like, what's going on over there? Oh, didn't you hear about that church? No, what happened? Oh, yeah, they had a falling out. Oh, really? That's sad. To Christians, that's sad. To believers, like, yeah. See, Jesus doesn't work. Jesus, the unifier, the Holy Spirit, didn't work. Well, our stinking flesh got in the way, typically. And someone felt like they had to win the argument instead of submitting in unity before God. Because this word division, what happens here is that it actually, it's like what we're called to do. It's the antithesis of what we're called to do. When it says in here that we're to be of the same mind and that we're to be perfectly joined, I can't easily do this. I was hoping to keep them together so I could show you how they look going back together. But I think you have the mind set of what's going to happen. If you put these together, wow, it looks like nothing ever happened. That's perfectly joined. That's what God wants us to be, perfectly joined. So no matter what walk of life we've come from, what our testimony is, what our story is, that we're actually perfectly joined because what God has brought together, God has brought together, okay? And that's perfect. That's being perfectly joined. If you go into the Greek, that word actually means almost like like two bones that are broken, being perfectly joined back together again. This doesn't work very easily. I'll never use that demonstration again. But I think you understand. I think you understand the point is that it's God who brings us together. And if you think of marriage, that's what marriage is too. Marriage is bringing two imperfect people together, right? If you're a husband and wife here this morning, look at your partner, look at your husband or your wife and say, amen. You can do that. It's all right. You might not be talking coming in. This is your opportunity to just get a nice little laugh in and chuckle because we all know that. We all know that if we go to bed angry, that's not a good thing, right? The word says not to. Like, battle it out. Many times that's happened, and I wake up the next morning, tail between my legs, like, I'm sorry, honey, I should have said this last night. And but he wants me to, God's called me in my house to go before my wife and to confess when I'm wrong and to say I'm sorry for the things that I've done, and that brings unity. So this morning, although we're talking about greater unity here, that could be your marriage this morning. It could be. And I will speak personally that the Lord can do it. He can bring you back if you feel at far or distant polar opposites. He can bring you back. Seek him. And if you're a thick-skulled dude in here this morning, seek him. Seek him. Get on your knees before him. Confess. And that's what happens here is when there's unity, what God desires is unity. That there be no divisions among you. And so that's a slight warning for us this morning too. I will say this, that in years past, you know, even this church is not completely resilient against that happening. You know, been through some ups and downs here as well. And you know what? We sought the Lord. We sought the Lord. And what he's done as a result is amazing. It is amazing. And if that gets you on your knees, get on your knees and be faithful and commit your ways back to him. There's this old saying, and I went back in time to try to see if I could find like actual text. Some people don't believe me when I say, no, really, this is like from like 300 years ago. You know, today's generation, they're like, oh, I don't see it. Like, let me Google it. Let me find it. And they see everything in black and white. But it's actually interesting when you have a piece of like something that's like 300-400 years old, and you actually can see the old Latin or the old Greek or the old Hebrew in texts. And so I don't know if we have that to be able to share. But right behind this, this is actually that text. It's from the Moravians. Some people trace it back even further than that, which I have as well, and I think it just still applies to today. But let's just say this together. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, charity. And what's really awesome about this, I think, is that this is one of those verses that helps center us back. Like, what are we bickering about? What are we complaining about? You know, we may be here in the service today, and I'm just going to say it. I don't know if this is true. You can privately come up to me later and go, maybe this was for me, Dave. But I'm just going to say it. Maybe you are at the other campus for another purpose that we don't even know. Like, nobody even is aware of. And if you're over there running from somebody over here, I'm going to say you get to that person and you confess your sin or your fault, or you tell that person that you felt this way or that way about what had happened. Because guess what? God doesn't want us to be complaining about the insignificant things. Your relationship with each other is important. So I didn't have that one planned, but that just came to mind. We're both here together in one place. You know, go to that person if you've wronged them and confess you're wrong. Say that you're sorry about something that you may have done. Maybe someone else might be thinking that you've done something wrong to them. Maybe you need to go over to them and say, hey, I feel like maybe this happened. But that's healthy. That's healthy, and that's how we talk things out. And we want to pray things out. But at the end of the day, an essential is unity. And really, that's the core gospel. That's the core gospel. We don't have to, you know, get into these doctrinal arguments that turn around and divide us on one particular passage. That's happened forever. But guess what? I don't like your interpretation. And off they go. And you're like, what are you doing? You know? And that's not Christ's house. Like, let's leave that. Let's leave those questions to the Lord, okay? Let's leave those questions and say, you know what? When we get before Jesus, we're going to ask him and say, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, this is what you said. Holy Spirit, what are you exactly saying? Because there are those moments where we don't like how somebody interprets a particular verse. One verse. That's not what we're to be called together in. In essentials, unity. In those non-essentials, there's liberty. And in all things, charity. I love this one about the charity part. You know, that really is the word love. That's the old school way of saying love. So let's say that last one again with the word love. If you can put that back up, Aaron. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. Say love. In all things, love. Love. It takes on a whole nother meaning when you say it that way. You're like, oh, they're asking me to give again. Like charity? Like, no, we're not asking for you to be super charitable and there's another plate going around. That's not what we're doing. We're unified when we do that. Right? And we see what God's doing in those times of being charitable. But there's a bigger term here, and that's the word love. And that's what we want to explore. And really, I love this from Dave Guzik. He's someone who I've always enjoyed his commentary. He's got a great app. If you're looking for a great app, come up and talk to me afterwards. You can like literally read the text and read his beautiful commentaries next to things. He says this about this particular saying, this word here. He says that we show love even if someone is wrong in their doctrine, because we are called to love them. And there's a warning there to not be hypercritical about these things, because at the end of the day, we're called to unity. And so let's make sure that in all things, love. And we know this love. Early worship team here this morning, we started throwing down like old school camp songs. This morning, and one of them, I'm glad they didn't say it because I was going to start laughing and saying, I was going to bring that one up. They will know that we are Christians by our love, by our love. And so that is something that, you know, it's so simple to teach a young child, but here I am, the old child, now singing it back to you because it's left a mark on me. That love is something that we're to have a love for each other for. We're to, in all things, love. Just as Christ loved us, we're called to love those around us. We're to live peaceably with men, it says in Romans. Like, we're to find a way that we can live peaceably amongst each other. And I love this whole concept of the fruits of the Spirit, because it's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering. Long-suffering. I love a way an author who I've met many, many moons back said this, and I still say it. You probably heard me say it already this morning. The way he says long-suffering is like this. I'm going to embarrass myself. Long suffering. Because once you say it that way, you never see that word the same again. Because it's long suffering. And it feels that way at times, but that's okay. That's healthy. But it's long suffering. And guess what that is? It's a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, long suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, all these things. And it's those fruits of the Spirit, that love and that joy and all these things that really bring about this unity that we're called to today. So my question to us this morning is this. What does your witness look like to those outside of the faith? That might be the easiest one for you to answer. Maybe the tougher one is something you've never considered. What does your witness look like to your brother or to your sister? Not only in your family, but right here, right now. I'm going to be honest with y'all this morning. I have to say this, that I really know that God is preparing us for the next season that lies ahead. And the last thing that the Holy Spirit ever wants to see is division in His church. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to say it again. I'm going to ask us again. This hits home for me. What does your witness look like to those outside the faith? And what does it look like to each other? Because if we're not real with each other, if we've been mean-spirited towards another, maybe even this, maybe we gossiped about somebody. It's not of the Lord. It's not of the Spirit. It's not walking in the Spirit. It's certainly not. Gossip, I didn't see. Hold on, let me make sure. Yeah. Gossip ain't no fruit of the Spirit. I'm just letting us know. Can't claim that one. Thank you, Lord. I got that gift. That is not a gift of the Spirit. Gossip is not. You got to get that talk and just kick it to the curb. Maybe that's to your husband or to your wife, and that's why I said brother or sister. Maybe it's even to your family members, okay? But I think that's something we need to be asking. We can't say, yeah, look at us. We're all unified. We came together this morning. We're all singing the song together. Yeah, that is. That's unifying. That's unifying. But the moment your mind starts to go, ooh, I'm not sitting on that side today. We're not talking. Sorry, camera person. I did not even tell them I was going to run across stage. Trying to make it easy for them. So I'll walk back slowly. All right. Recenter. Camera two. And we're glad you're online watching this morning and following us. We apologize for any technical glitches that we have. But doesn't that just so happen when something big's going to happen that little things start to break down, you know, or something happens? But God's called us right here, right now, for this purpose to be unified as one body of Christ right here, right now. Amen? Amen. Amen. So the challenge is, if you've got something that is not producing unity, kick it to the curb. Kick it to the curb. If there's something that you are doing at home that you know you need to just say, I am sorry for not doing those dishes last night, you need to say that, okay? Say that at home to your spouse. But again, what are we talking about? We're talking about those things that create division. And some of those are little things, but some of those become bigger things. And we should never let them become big things. Nip it at the bud, as they say, right away. Let's get rid of them right away. Because again, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, long suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. Love that one. So Jesus says this in John 13:35, by this all will know that you're my disciples if you have love for another. Love for another. Love for another. Final verse this morning that I just want to share is just this. We're in a day and an age where gathering together is day by day, right? Oh, we had to close our campus down, but we're still here online. We're going to be faithful always to have something for us all to be unified together on. There's going to be an opportunity to be even more connected this fall with Connect Groups. I sincerely challenge everyone here this morning, myself included, how are you connecting with each other outside of Sunday morning? Genuine question. How are you connecting? I come to church every week and nobody says anything to me. They're not very friendly there. Get connected. Take the step. You take the step. Take the step. You're not feeling like you know what's going on in particular passages of the Bible? Get into a Bible study. You want to follow along our new series that's coming out? Join a Connect group that's going to actually go through those tough questions after Sunday morning. Get connected. We call them Connect groups for that exact purpose. So that people are like, I don't know how to get connected at this church. There's nothing to do. We have these things called Connect groups. Another one that we've talked about already is that we're here to serve other people. That's a core value of ours. So we want you to get connected and help serve. It's an easy thing to do, to step forward and say, hey, I'm available. I have some time I want to put towards serving my brothers and sisters and the lost, that this may be their first time coming in here, and you're being hospitable to them when they walk or they drive, you know, through the parking lot and they get a great spot, or they come in and someone's greeting them. We don't do that as a show. We do that because that's what God's called us to do, and we do it with a happy heart. We really are people who just enjoy serving. And so I challenge you, if you don't like serving, you know, bring that to the Lord. You know, today, let's do some work on ourselves this morning. You know, I don't like to serve all. People are, oh, I hate people. Thank God our Savior didn't say that. Father, I am not going down for those people. You know, you can hear like heavenly talk. And the Father's like, I said, go, son. And of course, you know, Jesus went, of course. But, you know, it wasn't any back and forth talk. He was faithful to his Father. His Father said, go, and he's going. And guess what? The Father's going to say the same thing again to his Son. And he's going to say, go. And I want to make sure everyone here can say, I'm going. That's our hope. That's our hope. We're called together for one hope. That's our hope right now. Our hope is that he's coming again, church. He didn't set up this initial church just to like, oh, we're going to play church, and the world's going to say I'm the best, you know, single figure ever, and my Bible, my word's going to be the number one, you know, most read book of all time. Like, that's not what he cares about. He's not about those stats. His stats are all about his kingdom stats, you know, and there is more verses about his second coming than his first coming. And that's what we're excited about, is that Jesus is coming again. Amen? Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right. So I'm going to finish with this verse. It's in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. It's been hitting me so hard this last year and a half after I've read some of those statistics about people no longer coming to church, church attendance down. This is a challenge as we enter our next season together. It says this, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner is of some, but exhorting one another. Exhort one another. That person's better than me. Exhort them. And so much the more. We weren't doing that already. So much the more. Say it with me. So much the more, because you're going to see the day is approaching. As the day is approaching, you're going to see it more, okay? So guess what? Exhort each other more. Do that. Exhort each other more. And don't forget the assembly. Oh, it's raining outside. Let's not go to church today. Like, no, go to church today. That is not an excuse, okay? We don't care what the hair looks like. We like to dim the lights down for most of the time while you're in here, all right? And if you're that conscious, there's side doors. Run for it after church, okay? But we're here to not forsake the assembly. We're here to gather together. We're one church, two locations, glorifying Jesus. Amen? Amen. Before we do communion, we're going to do communion in just one more moment. I want to go ahead and conclude with this real quick, because I think this is important. Let's go through them together. Let's all just stand together. Stand together. And we're going to say these together one more time. We're going to live them out, but we're going to say them one more time. So we are here at Morningstar. We are all about Jesus, here for others. sacrificially generous, here to serve unified in purpose. Amen? Amen. As you're standing, if you don't have the elements this morning, just raise your hand. Make sure one of the ushers, if they have to, we're going to get you real quick. So ushers, if you can bring the elements forward. There's a couple with hands raised. But let's do something just slightly different this morning as we do communion together. So Jesus calls, he says in his in the Gospels in Matthew, I'm going to read from Matthew 26. Yeah, everybody get those ready. The top layer, there's a trick. The top layer has the actual bread. Yeah, the top layer right there. All right. Some of you might have forgotten this one. Just take out the bread this morning. This is the wafer. It's unleavened. It means that it's without sin. And I'm going to ask you to do one extra thing this morning. I grew up Catholic, but this always hits me every time this happens. Before we partake, it's an individual thing. If you don't know Jesus, this is not something to partake of, because you're not a part of his family. So I want you to come forward afterwards and have a conversation about that, okay? Because we're taking something that represents Jesus, his broken body for us. It says in Matthew, this is the Last Supper, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And as we do so, I just want you to do one thing. Just break it. Just break off a little piece. Jesus, we thank you for your body this morning. Something that didn't happen, Lord, was that you were not broken on the cross for us. But you break bread in a symbolic way of breaking bread with each other to unify us, Lord. As we take a piece and as we would have passed it, Lord, we take off and we break those pieces off, knowing, Lord, that this was your body. It was sent for us like manna from heaven. You provided for your people. You provide for us. You provided the lamb in your son Jesus, Father. Thank you. We partake of his body this morning, and we thank you for it. Let's take the bread in Jesus' name. In like manner, he then took the cup and he gave thanks. He gave it to them and said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant." And that's what we're partaking in right now. And Jesus says this. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And he says, "Do this. Do this right here, what we're doing today, until he comes again." He's not taking another cup until he takes it with us. And that's awesome. So, Lord, we take your cup right now. It's your blood, Lord, that was shed for us, for the remission of sin that covers us this morning, Lord. Lord, we give you our faults. Lord, we give you before you as we examine ourselves. We give you, Lord, those ways that we've gossiped, that we've cut someone else down instead of lifting them up. Lord, for those moments where we've thought ill about somebody else when we shouldn't have. That's our flesh, Lord. We give it to you to this morning. We want you to unify us. Lord, we see a great thing that's going to happen in this next season, God. This next season that lies ahead. As next week is back to church Sunday, we come back together. Summer's in the past. We look forward to this fall and what you are going to do. Unite us, Lord, in purpose. Unite us, God, so that we can be your hands, your feet. We can be your church. And as Matthew 28 says, that we will go into all the world as your disciples, Lord, teaching them who you are, Lord, showing them all the commandments, baptizing them in your name. For lo, you are coming again. And we thank you for all that you do. We thank you for your blood this morning that covers us, Lord. We give you our sins. We ask, Lord, that you would continue just to do what you've already declared and have already done by the shedding of your blood you've forgiven us. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Let's take the cup this morning, church. Lord, thank you for this time together. You're an awesome God. We love you, Lord. We're so excited about what you're doing in our midst. Lord, you've spoken to me. I hope you've spoken to every single person here this morning. That your Holy Spirit has gone before us and is going to continue to unify and is going to protect, Lord, your people, this house, your church, your body of Christ, Lord, each of us, as we wait for the return of Jesus. We thank you for this time as we continue in worship, in one accord, worshiping the name of Jesus, and all God's children said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's worship.